Thank you and howdy. Wonderful to spend the Sabbath with you today. Today's message is from the story of Jonah. And I encourage you to reread the story of Jonah for yourself. Recently, I read the story again for myself, and I was amazed. I was amazed at how much I learned when I put myself into Jonah's shoes. I think for you to get the full benefit of the story of Jonah, you have to let yourself know that you are Jonah. This is because we have a natural tendency to distance ourselves from Jonah. And we like to kind of compartmentalize the story. And maybe at most we find ourselves saying, well, this is partially relevant to us. But in the end, maybe this story isn't us. But I really see this story no different than when Nathan goes to David. And at the end of the story, Nathan says to David, "You are the man." If you study the story of Jonah's life and the context of the history of Israel, you will see that Jonah's story is a type of Israel. And we, aren't we, spiritual Israel? So it applies to us. You know, Jonah knows God like we know God. We have a relationship with God. And Jonah is a prophet of God. His work is to give God's message. And in Jonah's story, what we find is that God is working with Jonah's heart. And just like the parable of the fig tree that we heard last week, God and Christ are really trying to work below the surface at the roots. And some of those roots might be bitter. And the root of who we are is accessible to God. There's no amount of running that we can do. There's no amount of sleeping that we can do. We can't hide from God. And Jonah's story is a story of us if we're willing to listen to it. God is trying to work with us. We are his self-righteous children who know him. So let's talk about a few lessons from the story of Jonah. The first lesson that we have that I want to talk about from the story of Jonah is that we might talk about knowing God's truth, and there's something to that, but do we know the truth of our heart? The second lesson I want to talk about is, do we really love our enemies? And then the third lesson I want to talk about is, God will try to work with us, and whatever our heart can bring to the table, God will try and work with. My first point is, do we know the truth of our hearts? You know, Jonah's words in Jonah 1:9, I think are amazing when you contrast what he says and then what he does. Here you find the story of the boat. The boat is in peril. It's about to go down. And the sailors are frantically trying to save the boat. But you find that Jonah's been down sleeping. And the story continues, and once the sailors are finally able to reach the point where they've cast lots, and they find out who the culprit of their trouble is, they find that it's Jonah. And then they ask him about himself. And then here's what Jonah says. "I am a Hebrew. I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, who has made that sea and dry land." And then look at the sailors. What's the reaction to this? This scares the sailors tremendously. Why? Because the sailors knew that he was running from his God. Because Jonah openly told them that. And yet, here Jonah has the gall to say, well, I fear God who's made the sea. And he's open about that. He's open about himself running from God. And yet here we see in Jonah's so-called fear that he goes to sleep in trouble. Even after the sailors wake him up, he doesn't come clean at first in order to save the boat. You know, Jonah and the sailors here are all literally in the same boat. But what you find when you read the scriptures is that it talks about the heathen sailors fearing God, and yet Jonah had to be tossed into the water. You know, nowhere in the book of Jonah do you find him saying to God, I have sinned and need repentance. No, if you read Jonah's prayer, he asks for help, he acknowledges who God is, and he says he will fulfill his vow to God. But you don't see him saying, God, I have sinned against you. I'm sorry for running. You don't see that in the book of Jonah. Furthermore, in Jonah 4, this gives us more revelation into the heart of Jonah. When you see here, in anger, he prays to God that he rather die than go on living, knowing that the Ninevites will be spared. You know, at this point in the story, God asks Jonah, do you have the right to be angry? And here, Jonah doesn't even answer God. He blows God off. He doesn't respond. So is Jonah really in touch with his heart in this story? I think this is an important question for us to ask as we roll into that second lesson, which is, do we really love our enemies? I think this is probably the hardest saying in the Bible. And yet here in the story of Jonah, God is taking directly from Luke 6, 27 and 28, and he's putting it directly to Jonah here. Luke 6, 27 says, this is what I say to all who will listen to me. Love your enemies and be good to everyone who hates you. Ask God to bless anyone who curses you, and pray for everyone who is cruel to you. You know, when people read Jonah, I think it's easy for us to understand about God's graciousness and God's mercy. But what about us, bringing it back to us? Do we actively show love for our enemies? When God asked Jonah to go to his enemy and tell them about their wickedness, he ran. And he tried to die rather than preach to Nineveh. Then, when he does go to Nineveh, all we can read in the scriptures is a very short passage. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And yet, somehow the Ninevites believe God. And notice that the scripture doesn't say the Ninevites believed Jonah. It does say directly that they believed God. And then at this point in the story, Jonah is angry by God saying he is not going to destroy him. And even then, at this point in the story, he goes out and waits to see if something still might happen to Nineveh. Where in the story do you see Jonah's love for Nineveh? You know, ask yourself, does Jonah actually preach enough for the Ninevites to even know what's going on? Because all we have in Scripture is a very short message. In 40 days, your city will be overthrown. And when the people of Nineveh do repent, would a loving Jonah get angry at this? Now, Jonah did indeed pray at this point, but it wasn't for Nineveh. Let's read Jonah's prayer at this point. It's Jonah 4:2. So Jonah prayed, "Our Lord, I knew from the very beginning that you wouldn't destroy Nineveh. I mean, that's why I left my country and I headed out for Spain. You are a kind and merciful God. You are very patient. You always show love. You don't like to punish anyone, not even foreigners. Now let me die. I'm better off dead. I'd rather die than see mercy for an enemy." I think it's important for us to know if we have hate in our heart, because there's truly no place that we can hide from God. And that brings us to the last lesson, which is God will try to work with us, and whatever we can bring from our heart to the table, he will work with. The last part of the story, I think, is both sad and encouraging. Here we find that God brings up this plant, and it brings Jonah happiness. This is the first time in the story you see Jonah is happy. But then God has a little worm kill it. This gets Jonah angry again. But this time, God is actually able to talk to Jonah. The Lord said to Jonah, "You know, you are concerned about a vine that you didn't plant or take care of, a vine that grew up in one night and died the next. In the city of Nineveh, there are more than 120,000 people, and they can't tell right from wrong. And many cattle are also there. Don't you think I should be concerned about that big city?" God is telling Jonah here, "Don't you see? I have love for all." You know, God here is still working with Jonah here at the end of the story. He's using what love that Jonah has for a plant to show him that God is working a greater purpose for mankind, that none should perish. I think God is working with all of us who are his Jonahs, who preach about sin and may need to root out deeper problems, like hating our enemies. Anger is a sign of self-righteousness. Test that out in your life. When you find yourself angry, see if you're being self-righteous. There is none good but God. We can be in so much love with our own righteousness that we try to keep God out of parts of our lives. We can run away. We can fall asleep. We can be blind to the fact that we too must put on God's grace and mercy in our hearts. Jonah's story is a call for us to wake up. And then there at the end of the story, it just ends. It drops with Jonah sitting outside of Nineveh. You know, God doesn't punish Jonah. He just leaves him there sitting. So what's the remainder of Jonah's story? And what's the remainder of our story?